The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Stephen Schork, he's president of the Schork Group and editor of the Schork Report, closely followed by everyone who's in this industry. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
So let's start with Ukraine, Russia. Ryan Chilcote had a terrific interview, an exclusive with Russia's foreign minister, Mr. Lavrov, this morning. And we're going to be running some of the interview later in the show, speaking to Bob Hormats of Kissinger and Associates. But all you guys in the oil market follow this, you know, blow by blow. It doesn't seem to have had the kind of impact on crude and natural gas that you might have thought.
Well, and actually, I think I was on the show shortly after Putin went in back in March and annexed Crimea, and I said it back then, and I'll repeat it. It was quite evident that the West is not going to do anything from a confrontational standpoint with regard to Russia, simply because they cannot. Mainly, we're talking Europe here because of their reliance. 30% of their gas still comes from Moscow, 16% of which flows through the Ukraine. So everybody knew and everybody knows that there's going to be no sort of confrontation. So without any confrontation, there really is not a threat to the flow of gas, to the flow of crude oil. So why crude oil rallied shortly thereafter, knee-jerk, on this news was always kind of a mystery to me. So going forward, it is what it is. The West, i.e. Europe, cannot do it because they are economically tied to Russia, and the United States simply cannot do it by itself. So we're now getting this kind of, we had that knee-jerk reaction, which markets tend to do, and then we pulled back, and now the market is kind of settling into a range at this point.
Has there been a little bit of saber-rattling on the gas flows to Ukraine from Russia, though, from the Russian side in the last few weeks?
Oh, but that's, you know, Russia does not have to rattle any sabers. Putin, even in the best of times, because Ukraine, what do? The gas flows through the Ukraine. The Ukrainians siphon off that gas. They do not pay Moscow. They go into deep arrears. And Putin has done it in the best of times. That is, cut off the flow of gas to Europe in the dead of winter. So we know Putin not only has this card, he'll play this card. And certainly, if the Europeans try to play hardball, he will absolutely cut off gas to next winter. That's a given. So all the saber rattling, it is what it is. There's no mystery here that the Europeans are stuck. Putin has the control right now, temporarily, but he certainly has control this summer and going into next winter, and there's really not a lot the West can do to stop him at this point.
So in terms of crude oil, let's start with crude.
Yes.
Our story is looking at WTI, West Texas Intermediate contract, hitting its highest price in 3 weeks after the government's latest report showed that crude stockpiles fell at Cushing, Oklahoma. And of course, Cushing is the delivery point for the WTI futures. So very, very important in this whole story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what we have here is a function of pipeline reversals and increased flow on those pipeline reversals.
Explain for our listeners who don't follow the oil market what these are and why they're so important.
Excuse me. So oil, before the United States became a major oil producer, we would import a heck of a lot of oil into Houston, put it onto pipelines, and take it up to a central delivery hub up in Cushing, Oklahoma. So the oil flowed, that is, the imported oil flowed from Houston up to the central United States. Over the past couple of years, strong production in the United States, strong production in Canada. Oil started flowing down from the Bakken in North Dakota and in Alberta, Canada, down into Cushing. And at the same time, we were pushing oil up from the Gulf Coast to Cushing. Had a tremendous glut. So a couple of years ago, to relieve that glut, we had to reverse the flow. So instead of now pushing oil from Houston up to Cushing, we now push oil from Canada to Cushing, from Cushing down to Houston. So what we have now is the flow of this oil come out of Cushing because of increased capacity on the pipelines has increased this past 4, 5, 6 months. So we're in the midst now of a massive drain of oil coming out of the NYMEX hub. So we have kind of a bifurcated market here in the United States. We have a glut of oil now sitting in the Houston market area, and we're really draining down that oil in Cushing. And since the NYMEX WTI contract is linked to the Cushing area, that drain is keeping a very strong bid in the market. And there are actually, if we look at the cash markets, very strong demand for WTI, not necessarily from the Gulf Coast, because, as I said, we have a glut there, mm-hmm. but increased rail. We're training a lot of oil out of Cushing, out of the upper Midwest, coming east, going west. So there's still very strong demand in the market, and hence why we're getting good support for oil prices right now.
So where is the price going to go next? I'm just checking my Bloomberg terminal here again. We've got the NYMEX crude contract mm-hmm. is at $102.52. Yes. It's up about 0.8.
So in the immediate term, guys, we are going higher. At this point, oil has steadied over the last year, year and a half, in between of a range of about $95 to $105 a barrel. We spent the first 2 weeks of this month at $100 a barrel, slightly below $100 a barrel. But the problem now is bears have been trying to push this thing lower for 2 weeks. They didn't gain any momentum. So now you have a lot of people that are stuck. They're short this market. Keeping in mind, markets are like the path of water. They follow the path of least resistance. Just like water, you get crooked rivers, therefore you get crooked price paths. So therefore, we've tried pushing this thing lower. The resistance was very strong, and all that selling is going to create a lot of weak resistance on the reversal. So I think we are now in the midst of a reversal in crude oil. We're at, as you said, we're around $102.50 a barrel. I could certainly see us going back up to recent highs, which would be about $104, $105 a barrel. But once we get to that area, we now begin to start to play with elasticities of demand for when you net that back, $105 and above crude oil, to what it means to the consumer at the pump. Demand certainly begins to suffer at that point. So let's
follow this thread. So 104, 105 is probably the top of the range for WTI crude. Then we say, gas prices went up, so people demand less. So what's the bottom right now? I mean, is the bottom for crude now around $90? Is it as low as $80?
Well, I think longer term out, we're going to be closer in longer term out, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, certainly closer to $80 a barrel than $110 a barrel longer term out. As far as this summer, as far as the consumer's concerned, retail, exactly. We're looking at $95, okay. and that's been the recent bottom, so there's no reason to think that is the bottom right now.
Gasoline prices then, what are they going to do?
AAA prices right now at around $3.60. We're right around where we've been for the last 3 or 4 summers. We'll probably maybe start to move a little bit higher. Very normal move as demand picks up as we go into through the 4th of July holiday. Mm-hmm. Maybe get back up to around 370, 380 national average. But after the 4th, mid-July, we start moving back down as we look towards the end of the summer.
What about natural gas? There's the supply aspect of it, that there's still a lot of it out there for now anyway. And then there's there's some concern about demand, what that's going to do. What do you see for natural gas?
Well, right now, natural gas is in the midst of a very strong corrective sell-off after a very strong winter. We had the most bullish winter ever for the natural gas market, and hence we had a major drawdown in supply, and therefore we had a major spike in prices. We're now in the middle of that correction phase, and we're now in the middle of the rebuild, getting ready, building up gas supplies for next winter. We're in a hole. We have a long way to go. We're going to end this summer or go into next winter with about 3.5 TCF, trillion cubic feet in the ground, which is about 500 billion cubic feet below where we have been for the past 5-6 years. So we know we're going to start the winter in a hole. The concern was this refill season. And right now, the injections over the last month and a half have been very solid. So we're on pace to put a record amount of gas into the ground, about 2.6 trillion cubic feet, which will get us to that 3.4 trillion cubic feet level. So right now, the production is very strong. Production is still very strong. We have a lot of gas in this country. We're, more importantly, we're producing it. We're getting it to the market. Producers have the economic incentive because you had a big run-up in price, so they were able to sell forward a lot of the production. So we're getting a lot of that gas into the market right now. So as far as natural gas, I've been bearish since about 480. We're below 440. We're now at a key inflection point with natural gas prices in the spot markets. We either hold this current area now in between about 430, 440. If we can't hear it, I certainly like this market making a run down towards $4 before we get into July and then, you know, it gets really hot. People start running their air conditioners. Mm-hmm. Utilities have to start burning natural gas for that power. So certainly, if you're bearish, your time is now. If you're hedging, this is a great time to lock in some of your exposure for next winter.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.